The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome, everyone, to March's edition of the EvoStick.
Oh, the EvoStick Premier League. Oh, isn't it tremendous? Oh!
NPL Show here at the...
Where, Ben? Oh, you've not said it right. Oh.
Recorded so, here.
No, go on, start again, sorry.
I was going to ask you who was going to be Swampy. I have my answer.
No, I won't do it anymore, I promise.
Welcome to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester, stroke North Stockport, for March's edition of the EvoStick NPL Show. Round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league footballing fraternity. Well, I've used that word ever. Andrew Simpson is here from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
I'm okay with fraternity.
Yeah, well, I don't know, it makes
brotherhood.
Sound... Well, it makes us sound like we're at an American university and we're like haze someone or something. So I'm not too sure about that.
Mr. Ian Burke is here from 26-0.
Thank you very much, Ben.
And joining us here from the league, social media officer James Hayes is here.
Evening.
And not here, he's Swamper.
Hello, everybody. Hello. It's tremendous not to be here. I'm coming at you live from Belgium, where I'm drinking loads of Belgian beer.
And he's actually on his way back now, as we speak.
I know he's not happy about it. That's
I feel like we've done the listener a favour this month by deciding to do the show without him.
We should let the listeners know
how
furious Swampy is.
But it's all to do with dates and calendars and that kind of thing. We're entering the home straight and there's not enough time, I don't feel, to do too many more monthly shows.
I do feel a little bit responsible for this because, a couple of weeks ago when Altrincham had their little wobble and things... all went a bit crackers and Warrington started winning and they were pretty much neck and neck at the top of the league. We've got a group chat thing. I said, quick.
That's a secret forum.
We need an emergency show now. Come on, let's get it on for this week.
Was it you, sir?
It was me. Yeah, and Ben went, oh no, I've got to do some show about rugby league or something.
What a remarkable Ben impression that was.
That's good to be Swampy.
No, you Swampy ones back.
So we've decided, actually what we're going to do, dear listener, is actually set a new record for how quickly we can record the show, just to demonstrate how easy it is to record the show without Swampy. I've said it.
There's a problem, though, because if we come in at under an hour, I mean, the show's an hour long, isn't it? If we come in at 45 minutes, there's a lot of padding there, isn't there?
We are going to be discussing Division 1 North and Division 1 South later in the show. And, excitingly, we've got an exclusive. We've been trusted, and I can't believe this has happened. It must be because Swampy's not here. We've been trusted with the semi-final draw, because normally we do the jokey final draw. The semi-final draw of the League Cup. What have you brought?
What is this?
It's the absolute...
So let's talk about the league. Last week we had Paul Cardenham, and he had a zen-like state going into the weekend. It was 1 point the difference between Altrincham and Warrington last week. It stretched out a bit again. It's been a great week for Altrincham, hasn't it?
It's been buzzing, but just going back a few weeks. This time last month we were going, right, it's all season. It was more of a question of how much they're going to win the league by, not whether they're going to win it or not. I mean, the start of the show, it was like, right, I've obviously won it, yeah, come on, move on then, pretty much. But they had that little wobble. And teams, you know, they're allowed a wobble. Every team has them. Altie had theirs, what we thought was going to be theirs, right at the very start of the season. And then they had that run where they didn't beat Whitman. In fact, they lost to Workington, they lost to Staley Bridge, they drew against Michelover. Three games you'd expect them to win at home, and they just got 1 point on the board. But they seem to have, I don't know, they've had a rocket. They have surely had a rocket from Phil Parkinson, because...
Do you reckon they have, though?
I reckon they really have.
We were talking about Zen, and he's been pretty calm as well. And
The great run Warrington's been on, at least it's secured the playoffs, which we have to remember the last time we spoke as a group monthly panel discussion, Warrington was part of the playoff blob race.
Yeah, I think that's true, but there's some interesting psychology here, isn't there? Because, you know, you're dead right, they started the weekend 1 point adrift of first place. You know, we were all getting excited, and oh, look at this, let's have an emergency podcast. And, you know, less than a week later, you know, it's almost, I don't think it's quite, but it's almost normal service resumed. And I wonder, it would be interesting to see how Warrington kind of respond to that this weekend, because I'm not saying it was necessarily coming out of Cantilever Park, but the rest of us were all kind of getting a little bit giddy, a little bit excited, thinking, wow, this has come from nowhere, we got a title race, Warrington are in it, And now are we going to say they're not in it and we ain't really got a title race? It was a mirage, I don't know. Or
6 points the gap going into this weekend matches.
With 9 games?
There's still a lot of points, that.
It's
27.
It's gone from 1 point to 6 in the space of 2 games, so it can work the other way, I suppose.
Yeah, of course it can, but the thing is, I think that's it for Alti now. They're known not to take the foot off the accelerator. Yeah. And I think, probably unconsciously, they did so. You know, because they should have been beating Workington, as you said on the show last month. They hadn't won all year.
Yeah.
You know, they've put a few results together now, and they're back. I think they're probably back in the playoff mix, actually, but we'll come to that shortly, won't we? But the defeat against Stalybridge, that was very unexpected. Hugely unexpected. And the draw against Micklover, what? What? How on earth, where did that come from?
You know, so we were talking about Stalybridge later on in the show, but at the same time, they were too, we've called them in the past, they're too tough teams to play. I mean, Micklover especially, but Stalybridge have come out of nowhere to get to the situation. They've beaten all the top teams at this moment, and Altrincham have made the most of it. They played them twice, and it's probably a good week. That's probably a good thing.
Stalybridge did a similar thing last season, actually. They won 4 games on the spin up until last night when they lost 3-1 against Grantham.
Yeah.
But last season, they beat AFC File, Charlie, and another team. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. But 3 wins on the spin when they were down in the relegation zone. And it was at odds of something like 125-1 if you'd have put a triple on it or something like that. And they seem to up the game against the teams right at the very top, and fair play to them. And you've got to remember, we'll come to this later, won't we? Cause,
yeah, we will come to still.
On the 6-point gap, we've seen that it can concertina, it can close, it can widen again. I think I made this point last month and partly been made a fool by what happened. But,
don't put yourself.
Yeah, well, you know. Where are Alti going to drop points now? Warrington have got work to as well, and I guess look at the running this afternoon, has pulled it up again now.
Yeah, they think they've both of them have got to play Shaw Lane, but at the same time, well, that's not exactly.
Yeah,
that can turn though.
Of course it can, but
it can. The Shaw Lane will be open that it will pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
So is Richard Impey wrong not to come on this month's show? Because that's the reason why he's not here. He doesn't want to put the skids on it.
He's bottled it.
He's absolutely bottled it. Yeah. Which is,
which is his prerogative.
It's his prerogative.
That's where we are at the moment. We've got a month left to play. Altrincham have now, they've had the wobble. They've opened up a 6-point gap. Can they keep it?
Yeah, they should be fine. They've got 9 games to go. Only 3 at home, mind you.
Good point, Matt.
But out of all the teams that have got to play, there's only really Grantham and Shaw Lane, who are they still in the mix? They are, aren't they? They've got 3 games and 3 points off the playoffs. So they are still in the mix, but they've only got those two to play who are really up there, maybe Hensford as well. So on paper, at least, they've got a fairly straightforward running, and I'd fully expect them to run away with the league in the end.
Now, do you
10 points, Ben. 10 points.
Do you think that Altrincham and Warrington, whoever finishes second, that's where they're going to finish second, if that makes sense? They've got home advantage for the semi-final and maybe the final.
No question.
Yeah, I don't think there's even a debate there. No one, it's them, they're the top two.
Right, so that leaves the interesting race for the playoffs. At the moment, it's looking like, we've had a bit of clarity now, it's looking like a 5-horse race for the remaining 3 positions. Mm. Do we accept that? Just first, I should say, I'm going to try and get Workington on shortly to discuss the new.
Don't do that. They won't qualify for the playoffs. Then you're going to bock them.
No, not to talk about the playoffs, but to talk about the new stadium.
Oh, that's announcement.
We're discussing that later. But when it comes to that 5-horse race, do we now accept that Barwell, Workington, Hensford aren't going to get there? I mean, we should actually mention at this point Stafford Rangers coming right into it.
Huge hat tip to them.
Yeah.
Honourable mensch and all that.
I would suggest mention, but
there you go. I think you're right. I think it is between the teams down to 7th Shore Lane. I don't think Hensford are in the mix, but interestingly, it might just be because he was in such a bad mood last night, but Carl McCauley said that he thinks Hensford's still got an outside chance. Now, Witten are at home to Hensford on Saturday, so I think that's why he said that, to motivate his players for a big game. But I don't know what you guys think. I don't think anyone below Shore Lane can break into it, although you may want to make a case for Workington.
I think it's unlikely, but if they do string the results together, then yeah, of course it's possible. But I think they've got to win.
They've got to win the games.
You know, seven out of eight.
It's not much margin for error. Yeah,
that's it. Look, running they've got is against the playoff sides as well. So if they drop even one defeat there, I think that's pretty much them done. We've said it the last couple of times that with Barwell.
Yeah.
So it's getting to that point now. Teams can't afford to drop points.
You look at the teams from 8th to 11th, you know, they've all won 14, 15 games. And you've got to kind of get 50% of your total win rate for the season in the next 8 or 9 games. Yeah. It's unlikely, it's very unlikely that they'll do it. But stranger things have happened and you never know.
Can I just mention someone? We're recording this on Wednesday night, and on Wednesday evening, Matlock Town are hosting Stourbridge.
Yeah.
Stourbridge, at time of recording, are just your 10 points from the player positions.
Mm.
By the end of tonight, it could be 7.
Yeah, they'd be on level points with Workington and Barwell and Stafford, with that game in hand as well. So, yeah, there is an outside chance, but it's such an outside chance. I don't know.
I'm not suggesting it. I've just mentioned it.
No,
and they've got to play a lot of teams at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Stourbridge last week against...
So, is it in their own hands now, Burke? Is that...
Well, technically...
They're not good.
Wouldn't that be a hell of a story though? For
yes.
Possibly is, you know. I don't know the full arithmetic behind it.
Hey, I tell you what, it saved my skin after predicting that they were going to win the league. So I'm all for it.
We should also mention at this stage as well. It's a big derby this weekend, Hales Owen against Stourbridge.
Mm.
But we should also mention at this stage. We've touched upon Shaw Lane briefly there, but Paul Quinn left the club this week, replaced by Chris Wilcock, formerly of Glossop North End,
and Mosley.
But he did a cracking job at Glossop North End, we should say.
Absolutely, took him to the FA Vars final, got him promoted from the North West Counties League.
Is this showing Charlene's aspiration and?
I'd use another Asian.
Go on then.
Desper.
would you say that this is Shaw Lane basically drawing a line under this season? Is that where we are, or are they looking for any form of new management bounce just to kick them over the line?
Yeah, and that comes back to why I used the word desperation. Yeah, that's what they're hoping that Chris can provide. I'm not sure that he can do that. That's not me making a comment on him as his managerial ability. To know Chris, I've worked closely with him. I just think that they're on such a dramatic slide at the moment. I mean, it's not even like they're in games at the moment. They're getting an absolute hiding, aren't they? They can't score a goal to save their life. It's really worrying times, and it's not just, oh, we're just missing out here and there. Something's gone horribly wrong to be losing in the way that they're losing. Yeah.
Isn't it just the games that they've got to catch up with? Because
I mean, they've been playing quite. I think in the last week they've played
Saturday, Monday, Thursday. Saturday, Monday, Thursday.
They're getting closer, and again, they can't afford another postponement. Otherwise, the chances are they're going to have to go find another bit to play on at the same time. But it says, I think it says a lot. Again, they've gone from in the space of 2 weeks from pushing for the title, and it could have been obviously Tuesday night gone could have been a 6-pointer for the title. Isn't but it, they've gone from it, that to.
How many months have we done a build-up saying, don't forget the
doesn't it show you, though, it doesn't matter what calibre of play you've got, if you have to squeeze in all these games...
Yeah.
There's a reason, I think, that they've brought Chris Wilcock in, and they've got a couple of former Glossop players there who will have recommended him, no doubt about it, to the chairman. And
I mean, he performed miracles to get Glossop.
It was brilliant. Seriously,
to where they were.
It was absolutely brilliant. They're a North West Counties team playing in the Evo Stick League. You know, they really are. A few years ago, they were on the backside. They were practically bankrupt. You know, and
but there's a lot of pressure there now because it's clear that, you know, unless they have drawn a line under the season, but they have got the three games in hand over everyone.
They can start again next season if they have to. You don't have to get up this year. I do think the league's going to be a lot more difficult next season. South Shields are going to go up, and at least one of Scarborough or Hyde are going to be there, and of course Basford, who were flying in the First Division South, So they're all going to be contenders. What's that?
Let's not talk about the result last night.
Oh, what happened?
5-0 drubbing against Hensford in Integra.
Who cares?
I don't think that's on their priority list, to be fair.
I and Baseford don't give a monkeys about it. They're looking forward to next season.
Agreed.
And congratulations to them, by the way, for getting promoted. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're a point away. They need a point on Saturday, but pretty much.
I think they're promoted.
I'm deciding this now. Am I alright to get the manager on this week? Because
you probably, yeah.
Because I've got the Division One show, and I just feel like we should get the base for the manager on. I've not spoken to him in about 2 months, so
I think you'll be fine.
But yeah, to go back to the playoff race, then got you here as well, Simo. Witten Albion, it's still possible.
Undoubtedly, it's possible. Back-to-back defeats hasn't happened very often at all for Witten while Carlo McCauley's been the manager. But I think the sense there, and obviously we're talking today after they lost 3-2 at home to Hells Owen last night. They also lost 2-1 at Ashton on Saturday, which can happen. Ashton are one of the best home teams in the league and obviously a promotion contender.
They're one of the best teams in the league.
Correct. I think more last night, and alluded it, to in my match report, is that they were gutted to lose. They conceded a 93rd minute goal to lose 3-2. They'd been ahead twice. You know, the list goes on. And then we were doing the post-match presser after the game. Carl said to his assistant, "How's everybody else got on tonight?" And he was scrolling down his phone, and every time he read the result out, more and more of the lifeblood drained out of Carl's face. And I think that's the message.
That's good though, isn't it? Because that shows he's thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that he's been
is
all the way through
not
the season,
talking about it. Yeah. And so that was really, you're dead right. That's one of the takes I took from it. But the main thing is that what a missed opportunity, because they would have gone into the weekend in the top five. Got some tough games this weekend, but the bounce that it would have given them. And I think, just to link it back to what you're saying about Shore Lane's kind of mini collapse, and it is still that at the moment, has opened the door, because we thought that position in the playoffs was locked. Witten thought, well, we might sneak into fifth, that's what we've got to aim for. The kind of problems at Shore Lane have opened the door a little bit now, and it's kind of reignited. It was giving that Witten that little bit of extra incentive, which I think is why they were so disappointed last week. They were disappointed because they lost to Hales Owen. It's not a reflection on that. It's that they feel that they had a real opportunity to make a claim for a position in the top five, and it's just slipped away from them.
It's going to be hard to ignore the fact now we've obviously another playoff contender, Farsley.
That was going to be my next question. How happy must Farsley Celtic been? They've been sitting there, played umpteen games more than everyone else all season.
Yeah.
Everyone's caught up, and here they are, fifth.
Exactly.
Remarkable, isn't it? Fathom Lakeland.
Brilliant.
They've been grinding out the wins recently. They had 4 wins by 1 goal. Against teams right down at the bottom as well, they just pipped the way past Sutton Coldfield, for instance, and they got hammered the other night against Stourbridge 4-1, but they beat Stourbridge 2-1 a few weeks previously, and that sort of plays back into Stourbridge's revival, which we mentioned earlier. But it's I don't know if anyone's going to drop out. I do think it's going to be Farsley, and I actually do think they'll drop out.
Well,
whether it's Witten or Shore Lane,
lot of people now at Throstles Nest who've gone, yes.
I mean,
thank you, Birkin.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah. Because that must be one of the, out of all the teams there, I mean, I'm sorry to say this to Grantham Town, but they're the ones who've, Fars and Celtic are the ones who many people have written off this season as playoff contenders because of the number of games in hand.
I think their week as well is indicative of, I mean, this is why the playoff race is going to be so exciting, because they'll have been pretty gutted themselves, have got eyes and owned by Stourbridge, and then looking at the fixtures going, and then Ashton lose last night, Witten lose last night, and suddenly they won't be thinking they missed an opportunity, Farsley, but they'll be thinking, you know, it's not done. Another person spoke to last night, Chairman at Witten, Mark Harris, he made a bold prediction that the playoff race won't be decided until after the final whistle on the last Saturday of the season.
It's interesting, not seeing as we've not got we can't mention Alton and Shore Lane anymore, because obviously it's not title decided anymore.
It's not going to be played, that game. Not until July.
Well, put it this way, we've now got a fixture that can replace that, and they've got to play each other twice as well. Witten against Farsley Celtic have got to play each other twice
James.
In the last month of the season.
Really?
And we don't know when one of them is, because the last Tuesday of the season is one of them, and yet then the other one was a Tuesday that's been rearranged. I mean,
Thanks. It's some daft cup final.
Some daft cup final, aye. That's the one.
More on that later.
Indeed. But they were meant to play each other on back-to-back Saturdays earlier this month, and that was when Witten were absolutely flying and banging form, and they were gutted not to get at least one crack at Farsley to try and do some damage to Farsley's hopes, and the whole dynamic of those two games is different now.
Exactly.
We need to mention Grantham as
I'm going to, right.
Oh, good. So, I'll leave it in your capable hands, Ben.
Last week, from a journalism point of view, Simo,
yeah,
was I right to take that phone call from Adam Stevens?
Were you right or was he right?
Well, no, he can do what he wants because he's the manager. But he rang me up from his hospital bed after his hip operation.
Well, you didn't know he was in his hospital bed.
No. I text him.
Yeah.
And his wife got back to me and says, oh, he's having a hip operation. I went, oh, blooming heck, send him our best.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him to get well soon. And then an hour later, he was ringing me.
Do you know what? I think it just shows how far we've come as a podcast. the lengths now that managers will go to. Yeah. We spoke to managers out of the country, haven't you?
Poland.
Yeah. You spoke to managers who you thought was someone else.
Yeah, it's like the hello. Yeah,
and now add a hospital bed to it. And I think that we should take that, and I've taken that as a massive compliment.
But Grantham Town are in third at the moment. That's a 7-point gap to sixth place. They're in the playoffs, aren't they?
Yeah, they should.
Game in hand.
Absolutely. They had that wobble, and it was a proper wobble. They won one out of seven games. Yeah. And I was feeling all smug going, oh, I told you Grantham would never make it to the playoffs. But they've really come back strong. They've won three games on the spin since they lost to Warrington a couple of weeks back. And they've looked impressive. Yeah. Never mind, hang on, you're going to say Lee Shaw there. Yes. Never mind Lee Shaw. He's only scored two goals in 2 months.
Nominated for Evo Stick MPL Show Player of the Season.
Ben, nominating for Evo Stick Player of the End of 2017 because he scored four goals in 2018.
Well, scored 30 goals.
To be fair, Grantham have only played two games in 2018.
Well, I was just going to say
they have not. They started to spread it around a little bit. You know, you've got Danny Meadows there, Curtis Burrows, you've got Mohamed Hakim. They're getting goals between them now as well. And the goals are starting to come from all around the squad now, rather than just relying on Lee Shaw all the time.
But again, it's hard to know. He's scored 30 this season now.
Yeah, 26 of them by Christmas.
Exactly, but still. Compliments
so,
himself,
so we reckon, based on this, and obviously there's a few weeks left of the season, Warrington, Grantham have got the game in hand, but also 7 points in the playoffs is Ashton United.
Yeah, oh, before...
Are they in?
Probably, but Ben, just before that, I've got to say, for Grantham, the last week is extremely interesting.
Why is it extremely interesting?
Because
his eyes widened when he said that.
They did, didn't they? Because
and I'm leaning in.
The last three games, they've got to play Altrincham, Warrington, and then on the last day, they're away to Sutton Coldfield.
Ooh.
Well, that is an end of season week, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So you saying they need it done by then, or that they can wreak havoc by then because their job will be done? They'll be in the playoffs.
Or will they be hoping that those three teams we just mentioned there will also be done for the season?
Well, I'm saying that, they'll probably be on the beaches, Warrington and Altrincham. Sutton could still be battling for it, and it could come down to the last day. You don't know.
Ashton United, then?
Ashton have got basically preparing. They've had a massive clear out in the last 2 weeks before the window closing. Got rid of the likes of Rick Smith, a couple of the forwards, and they brought a new lad in Reddit. So I've got a feeling Joby's getting prepared for the playoffs, not just to settle in there, but potentially go and win it. Like I say, it says a lot of intent of the players they've been bringing in.
They've been a little bit up and down, though, haven't they? They win, loss.
When you compare it to... everyone's been up and down. It's remarkable, isn't it? There's no one been solid.
Yeah, but Ashton have been really consistent all season. That's the thing. They went from the end of September to, I think it was the start of February, unbeaten. You know, as Simo says, the last six games it's been win-lose. And one of them defeats was against Colville, who can't buy a win at the moment. So it's been a really, really, really strange run of form from Ashton at the moment. Just this little bit of inconsistency come in, but if you're going to get your wobble out of the way, get it out of the way now and concentrate on the end of the season.
You'd still be surprised if they don't make it into the top five.
Well, I'd be very surprised now because the last nine games they've got, only one team are in the top 10, and that's Workington on the last day of the season.
Really?
Right. And they're in ninth at the moment. So it should, on paper, you know, it should be really, really straightforward.
Wouldn't you rather be playing, I mean, it's difficult to say, but wouldn't you rather be playing the top sides? Because that kind of
your team's off. No. I'd want to be playing the mid-table teams. You'd want to play the teams who you know, A, aren't as good as you, and B, are already on the beach. Nothing to play for.
And yeah, I think that's true. I think to bring it back to Witten, that's exactly what was a problem for them. Last night, Hales were fighting for their lives. They were so up for that game last night, and they're dangerous games when you're playing against teams with something to fight for. And so I agree with you.
And Lee Hughes is a great signing for him. Has to be said. He's still capable of playing in the conference now, National League now. Sorry, and he will score goals, and he has been scoring goals for him.
Well, it's an interesting time. Obviously, we're going to be back with the monthly show. Not quite work this out. Probably the last week of the season. That right in the middle. On the Wednesday,
we'll work it out.
We'll work it out. Yeah,
we'll have another panic on our messenger group.
But we are going to do, depending on where the final is, we might do the Integral League Cup final. It all depends because my better half is pregnant at the minute, so I can't be going too far. So we'll
we've only got a backup option.
Should we arrange the final around that then?
Well, yes. Shall we do the draw now?
Can't she come with us and then?
Oh, well, yeah, that'd be a great story.
always thinking.
Ever off duty.
I've not made any secret of this. You know, I'm a Lancashirean at heart, and I'd be devastated if my third child was born in Leeds. So that is the end of part one. Everyone's fine with it. That is the end of part one. Coming up next is the draw for the semi-finals of the Integral League Cup. Very excitedly, we'll be doing that in a second or two, and then we'll be back to discuss relegation.
Hello, James.
Okay, so quick run through who's still in the draw at this moment in time and the draw numbers. In ball number one will be Averton Colliery's or Ramsbottom United. Number two will be Colville Town. Number three will be Hensford Town. And number four will be Workington or South Shields. So, again, whoever wants to enter the back into the...
Number four,
which is Workington or South Shields.
Well, it's number two,
which is Colville Town.
Well,
number three,
which is Hensford Town. Oh, so this is again the formality in this case, but
what is all right. Yeah, we got number one,
which is Averton Colliery's or Ramsbottom United. That concludes the draw. The ties will take place on Thursday the 12th of April. The final will be announced in due course with the venue and the date as well. Thank you very much.
Who needs chappers?
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in Stockport for March's edition, crucial edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. And what a draw that was, James. Well done, sir.
Tell you what.
Some big ties there, everyone. Thoughts? Just to let you know, the draw hasn't actually been made while we record this. We're doing it right at the end. So I thought I was convinced. So let's discuss. Before we discuss relegation.
Oh, yeah.
What have you got to say about the teams in 5th, 6th, and 7th?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. You might not at home think it's very interesting, or in the car, or wherever you're listening to it. But three of the four promoted teams, Farsley Celtic, Witten Albion, Shaw Lane, the 5th, 6th and 7th at the moment. And I just think it goes to show the strength and depth in the First Division North and First Division
South.
To an extent, First Division, well, actually South on this occasion. Yeah, but North next season. These things come and go. And no, I think it's interesting that the teams that have been promoted, by and large, have done really, really well this season. All right, if Shaw Lane have had a bit of a wobble, so what? They've been right up there all season. Witten Albion, they've started coming on strong again. Farsley, they've been there and thereabouts since day one. So I just think it's been a really positive season for the teams coming up, and it's a lot of encouragement for the teams in the division below, knowing that damn well they can do it.
You throw Lancaster in. Lancaster have had a comfortable season, though.
That's what we predicted.
Yeah, well, say that they were up there at the beginning of the season.
They've done fine. And they may still will finish... you know, in the top half, is definitely a possibility for them.
Just to say, we're recording this show on Wednesday. That means Thursday night's game, which would be really helpful to know the result of between Shaw Lane and Colville Town. We don't know the result at time of recording. We should also say as well, a big good luck to Paul Quinn in the future, because I'm sure he'll bounce back. And just to also add, there's been a management change. The duo of Glenn Kirkwood and Craig Hopkins are no longer at Matlock.
Who needs a duo when you can have a trio?
Best of luck to Craig and Glenn, and a big thanks and Paul as well. A big thanks for coming on the show over the seasons. Right, so
are we going to touch on Matlock?
Yeah, let's touch on Matlock.
Are you quite surprised that they've, after what they did last year, that they've parted company?
I'm not surprised at all.
Matlock have dropped to third bottom.
Okay, yes, in recent weeks. But I had a look before I come out today, and last season they finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
And then only once in the previous 9 years had they done that. So my point is that they'd overachieved. You know, we did podcasts when we were saying, oh, are they playoff contenders? They had a good cup run as well last year. So I accept your point that they're third bottom now, but isn't there just a regression to the mean for Matlock this season? As
no.
It has been for some other teams, or am I being really generous?
I think it's just a regression.
Fair enough.
They score plenty. This is the strange thing about them, they score plenty. I mean, they've scored more goals than Barwell, for instance, who are out there in the top 10.
Yeah.
But they've got such a porous defence. I mean, they've got the fourth worst goal difference in the division, and that kind of statistic, it really doesn't lie. You know, if you can score as many goals as you like, but if you concede him more, you're always going to be struggling, aren't you? And
it's just not worked at Matlock this season. Every couple of weeks there was always a news story, wasn't there, saying we've got to go back to the drawing board.
Huge turnover of players in on loan. They've had injury problems as well, which is important to point out. But it's just never got going, has it? No. The season's never got going. I suppose any momentum, if you want to use that word, that they did have from last season's has gone, and it's hard to get that.
Well, that momentum they had last season, he's gone to Telford, Marcus Dinanga.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't a one-man team.
They're not doing too well at the moment.
No, but he's doing well. That's the thing.
Thankfully, from my point of view.
Yeah, exactly. No, but he's doing well. That's the thing. And I've just got to say, Ben, they need to get this wrapped up, I think, before the last three games of the season. Because the last three...
You're not suggesting Matlock Town can get dragged into the...
Yeah.
You're suggesting they're in free fall.
It's 12 points.
They've got to play the last three games working. It's an international at home and then away to Charlene, you know, they might have come out of the tailspin by then. And they're going to be in... I do think they're going to be in playoff contention.
Let's turn it on this in a second. Matlock are 9 points from safety with 9 to play.
Yeah. Will they get those 9 points?
Obviously, depends on Sutton Coldfield as well.
Sutton Coldfield have to win every game as well.
Of course.
It's an outside chance.
Just to say then, we don't know, but I should have said it, it might actually be a lot closer than that at time of recording, when the show goes out, because, as we said, Sutton Coldfield are playing Charlene, and Charlene at the moment are in great form, has recovered.
I think that's going to be a really fascinating game now, actually.
I agree.
What about Hills Owen then? Hills Owen have done enough, it looks like, in the last week.
I can give you a first hand account of Hales Owen after seeing them last night. What I saw is a team that is absolutely giving everything for their manager to try and stay in this division. You're always looking for that when you're seeing teams having a struggling season. They're quite a young side, which was quite striking. Some good loans in there as well, by the way. And they came for a draw. I don't mean that in a demeaning way. That's how they set up, because a draw away to Witten is a tremendous result. And so they wanted just to hang into the game. 1-0 down, got it back to 1-1, 2-1 down. They were hanging into the game.
I was going to say, didn't it? The final score doesn't seem like it was a close run, part of the bus kind of game.
It was that. And they, to be fair, they challenged Witten, can you break us down? And Witten didn't make the greatest job of that. They got a really generous penalty to go 2-1 up. But on Hales Owen, they have an ace in the pack, in that John Hill was able to look down his bench and send on Lee Hughes, who's gone there recently. We've talked time and time again on the podcast this season about Hales Owen's inability to score goals. That's why they're in the mess that they're in, or in the trouble that they're in. and he completely changed the game. He set up one goal, scored the winning goal in injury time. Witten were absolutely terrified of him, couldn't get near him. And I mean, they knew what a huge win that is last night, because they didn't think they were going to get 3 points at Witten. But to have somebody like that, who you can now, look, he can't play all games, but you can throw someone like that on with 20 minutes to go. What a signing that could be. That could keep them in the league.
I mean, it's been a big week as well for Marine. A 5-0 win against Sutton Coldfield Town, that's a big result, isn't it? Yeah, considering what, considering all the fun and games that they had at Hensford with I mean, if you listen to Tommy's interview after, he's fuming with the referee decisions against Hensford. So, you know, it's...
Fuming's an unfortunate turn of phrase, isn't it?
Yes. Sorry about that, yes.
You know, I was on Hyde's team coach once upon a time when their coach caught fire on the... on just before you get onto the Woodhead Pass, and there's a pub there, forget the name of it, not far outside of Stockton.
It's amazing you forgot the name of it, considering how long you spent there that afternoon. But yeah, go on.
I think it's a Dog and Partridge. We got there, all the players got off the coach, there was, you know, 30 fans, something like that, and we all walked into the pub en masse, and the landlord, he just looked at us and said, "No, get out." And we have Gavin McCann there, our assistant manager at the time. He got one cap for England. So he walks up to the barman and goes, the landlord, and goes, "These are professional footballers." We were Hyde United. They've got a game on Tuesday. We're having one pint, then we're going. We're just waiting for our replacement bus. "Why, what's wrong with your bus?" says the landlord. And he goes, "It's on fire outside your pub."
Right, but back on point. Marine fine now, and
it's between the bottom two now.
I agree.
Shall we just have a special mention, by the way? Should we mention Tommy Lawson and Steve Burr in this as well at Stalybridge Celtic? Because we've had shows here where we've had concerns about Marine and Stalybridge Celtic, but in the end, it looks like a comfortable end to the season for the pair of them.
I feel smug after backing Burry all season, so I'm relieved as well. So when they, you know, make this charge towards the playoffs now, it'll be even better.
I was just going to say on that, if this is similar to what we were saying before about other teams in the league upstairs, not on microphone, if this is for the team that he played now at the start of the season, would they not be playoff contenders themselves? Let's be realistic. I know it's obviously a long 8-9 months is a long time, but the way they're playing at the moment, they're beating the top teams.
I think Steve Burr will be the first to admit, and he has admitted, you know, it took him a while to get used to the level.
Which, and he's not here to speak for himself, but I will speak on behalf of Swamp as well. In our defence, when we were bigging up Stalybridge, we both did make that point. It was something like 10 years since he'd managed to step three, and that might be a challenge for him. So we're not total idiots, is the point I'm trying to make.
Well, they won four games on spin up until last night against Barwell, and it was a long time coming. You know, in that run there, it was the first time that they'd won a Saturday game away from home in a year and a half, or best part of a year and a half, 70-odd weeks it was, which is absolutely ridiculous. But they got there in the end, they got the monkey off the back and all that, and you've got to look at them and go, right, well, are they going to be contenders for next season? Well, possibly. We'll see what's happening, because the players, they're playing for their contracts for next year.
Yeah.
Steve Burt, I think, is probably playing for his contract for next year as well, because Rob Gorski, he's not going to countenance another season where at the bottom half of the Northern Premier League. He's not.
Obviously, we can't discuss too much about the relegation picture, because Sutton Coldfield might be closer to Halesowen when the show goes out, but it is going to be touch and go for the pair of them.
We can say summer, though, surely.
I think it's still alive. I think Halesowen's result last night does pile the pressure on Sutton Coldfield, but I don't think it's quite sealed the deal yet.
It's down to Sutton Coldfield now. They can't afford to slip up at all. Obviously, 7 points, so 6 points adrift. And they've got six to play after the last game. That's not including, obviously, the result tonight.
Well, they did have that mini revival, didn't they? They beat Marine before that 5-0 catastrophe at the weekend and all that. They beat them 3-1 the other week. They ran Altrincham very close. Yeah. They beat Workington. You know, they're capable, but they've lost five out of the last six.
And that's disheartening, losing in the way they did at Marine, isn't it?
Oh, yes,
that's going to hurt.
It's hammering.
So, fixtures for this weekend, I should say, we're going to try and speak to the Workington chairman in a second, John Mackay. Simo.
I just want to do
a couple of quick shout outs because we're going to get shouted out for not covering
this is Radio 1.
Stafford, good month, Stafford bad,
yeah,
crept up the table, yeah, deserve a lot of credit, may even finish inside the top 10. The two other teams I thought were worth a mention, Rushall,
yeah,
massively on the rise. Liam McDonald's done a brilliant job.
A great result against Ashton the other night. Yeah,
fantastic result. They were bottom of the table, don't forget, when he took over from Wayne Thomas. And the other one is Whitby. You know, they've had a really good 2018. Yeah. If the season started on New Year's Day, they'd have been comfortably in the top half of the table. So I just wanted, even though we're doing like both ends of the table, there's some teams that are still doing the
In fairness, with Whitby Town, you've just got to look at Paul Conley's Twitter page for the last 2 weeks and just see what's going on there. That's the main thing.
The last day of the season for Sutton Coldfield, they're at home against Grantham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in seasons past, when a team's been comfortable in the playoffs, they may well have rested one or two players.
Sutton Coldfield last season, didn't they have to play Workington?
I can't remember.
Or was that Corby? Someone had to go play Workington.
I'm just saying.
There's no easy games in this league.
If it goes down to the last day, I think that's going to be a really, really interesting fixture. I might even make the trip to Sutton Coldfield to watch it.
Can I just say that isn't going to happen?
Yeah, anyway. So that is the end of part two. Coming up very shortly, we'll be discussing Division One.
And we'll be returning back to the Heat and Hops in a second or two. But as promised, this past week, Workington have announced that the club has been in meetings with representatives from Allerdale Borough Council and Workington Town Rugby League Football Club to discuss the future of both sports provision in Workington. These discussions relate to improving facilities and offering a stronger and more sustainable future for both West Cumbrian clubs. And joining us now to discuss this a bit more further, we're now joined by the welcome return of Joint Chairman from Workington, it's John Mackay. So, John, this sounds like really, really exciting news and promising news. Admittedly, it's at a very early stage, but where do these talks come from?
Right, it's been discussions ongoing for some months now between Allerdale Borough Council, our landlords, and ourselves and Workington Town, the local rugby team. So, obviously, we both got ageing stadiums, and both are owned by the council, but are constantly needing money spent on them by both clubs, just to keep them open to the public. So a joint stadium, which is on the cards, is being looked at. And it's obviously it's in the early stages. And we're both eager to have facilities that will fit us both for the 21st century.
Just for those people who aren't aware, on this show, I do the League One show in rugby league circles, so I have a real difficulty of not saying Workington Town on the MPL show. It's very tricky. But there is a World Cup, a Rugby League World Cup coming in the early 2020s, 2021, I think it is. So there is a hope and expectation that maybe a facility will be ready in time for that. But it is very early stages here, but you must be very reassured with the partnerships that are being developed here between club, the other club and the council as well for the future.
Yes, it's a great opportunity for both clubs to end up with good facilities, and yes, the Rugby World Cup in 2021 is a good catalyst that is a factor in trying to get this new stadium off the ground, and obviously both clubs need modern facilities, and this would be a great opportunity not just for the 21 World Cup but for both clubs for the next 30, 40, 50 years.
And this is the thing, isn't it? We've got Roy Sewell who comes on the show regularly, and he's got very fond memories of Workington back in the day. And I know people at Workington Town. It's a very proud club with a very proud history. There is a lot of promise with both clubs, and a facility like this. There's obviously thinking with the council and with both clubs that this will kick both clubs along and really help them going forward for the future and improve sport in provision there on the west coast of Cumbria.
Yeah, it's going to be, if it goes ahead, which we hope very much so, it'll be a community stadium. So it won't be just for the rugby and football, it'll be for the town in general and for the wider community and for everyone to make use of those facilities. Because obviously the bills don't get paid with using the stadium once a fortnight or if you're sharing it once a week. And that's important. And you've got to think about the next generation of the youngsters coming along. And if they can use those facilities as well during the week, involving schools and communities, other football clubs, etc. It'll be a great asset to the town.
What are the next steps, and what are you hoping are going to be the next steps and timeline for this?
Right, over the next few months, the Joint Steering Committee, which comprises obviously of the council, the rugby and the football, will be agreeing a proposed site, because obviously there's a number of sites that's a possibility, some owned by the council and some are one possibly that will purchase. Then obviously get the design correct, because obviously it'll have to meet both rugby and football criteria, which shouldn't be difficult with modern facilities. And then obviously agreeing a management of the stadium. And we all hope that that will all be in place by December or the end of this year, so that by this time next year, the project will start in earnest in cutting the first sods, etc. And then it'll be full steam ahead to build the facility ready for 2021 for the rugby and football.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. John, I should say we're recording this on Thursday afternoon. You're on your way shortly to the quarter, the Integral League Cup quarter final match between Workington and South Shields. There's not really much point discussing it because this show goes out on Friday night, so people are already going to know the result. But best of luck this evening. It's going to be a great occasion. Just a final word there, John. The playoffs are... They're just in the distance. They're like, if you stretch your fingers out slightly, you'll be able to touch the ledge there, I think. It's close, isn't it?
It's still a possibility. You know, we had a poor run at the start of the year, and I think that was the hangover from the trophy. But games are over until it's over, as they say. And we'll keep fighting until it becomes impossible to get into the playoffs. And that's all the lads can do. They're a great bunch of lads. They're all local Cumbrian lads. And they've got a great team spirit, and they play for the club, not for the money, because they don't get that well paid.
Well, John Mackay, Joint Chairman at Workington, a big congratulations again with getting the stadium proposals off the ground. When you've got a further update, we'll get you back on the show. Have a lovely evening tonight, and have a nice weekend, and you keep up the good work. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, Ben.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show here at the Heat and Hops for the month of March. Round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league community. We've got James Hayes here, social media officer for the league.
Good evening.
We've got Mr. Ian Burke here from 26-0.
Hiya, Ben.
And from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian range of publications, we've got the wonderful Andrew Simpson.
Portfolio. Yeah. Hello.
Right, so Division 1, starting off with Division 1 South, Basford United, can it happen this weekend?
They need a point. They need a point to get promoted, and they're not including Al Church's result last night. Yeah. They need 9 points.
Sorry, are you doing time travel here? Are you talking about the Alva Church match on Thursday or the one on Tuesday?
The one on Tuesday where they dropped a point, if I remember correctly.
Alva Church aren't playing on Thursday, so it's fine.
Yeah. Including the Alva Church result on Tuesday, they need 10 points to seal the title.
They need 10 points to seal the title, 1 point to seal promotion.
Correct.
So we're not at the stage yet where I can re-invite Martin Carruthers onto the Division 1 show.
Wouldn't
it be nice, though, if they win the league on April 7th because it's Basford versus Alva Church?
Well, I'll definitely see what they do.
It might not be very nice for Alva Church.
Well, it won't be very nice for them, but...
Thing is that Basford's next two games anyway, they've got Market Drayton and Carlton Town away, both of them down near the bottom end. You can't really see them not picking up a point there, in fairness.
Well, hang on. Are you saying Carlton Town can't possibly beat Basford? Carlton Town have beaten FC United and Manchester.
Why are you bringing that up now? So long ago, I remember that trip. God, we went down the wrong road and ended up stuck on a level crossing. Horrendous. Anyway, right, so Basford United, they could get seal promotion this weekend. Alva Church are the ones in second place at the moment. I should say, I did say I was going to do a Division 1 show this week. It feels like I should do it next week. I'll do it next week. So apologies for those people sitting around the radios going, I can't wait for Ben to do
Ben's
Division
having a rest
one
for
show.
Easter.
I was going to say this is Easter egg related.
Yeah, that's good. For second place, it still feels like it's in Alva Church's hands. They are, 2 points, at time of recording, 2 points in the automatic promotion spot. Bedworth United are the team in third. They've got three games in hand, though, Alva Church. Bedworth United, Frickley, Stamford, and Chase Town.
Yeah,
it looks like they've all sealed it. I'm sorry to rub this in, because obviously you're a big fan of Leek Town.
I love Leek Town.
Is it?
Yeah.
He doesn't mention it.
I very rarely mention it. I know, but I do love Leek, and I fully expect them to do well in the First Division West next season. But Frickley, they've got all the flair players at the moment, and they're sort of flexing the muscles and all that kind of stuff. And I fully expect Frickley to win the playoffs.
It's got 90 goals.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was the voice of a man who's just looked at the visual sound table.
They've got Jacob Hazel and they've got Gavin Allen up front, and you can't really mess with that, can you?
No, but they've got
another player. It says a lot when
Stefan Gilinski still in the back front.
No, he's at
Grantham.
Oh, is it? Oh, that explains why Grantham are doing so well there. Yeah.
It says a lot though when it's not Gavin Allen mentioned for the anything with the player awards this year, and it's Jacob Hazel. It just shows what they've done this year. Let's be honest, Allen's been nominated every year. But
that's a good point. I didn't vote for Allen this year either.
But this weekend, Stamford are hosting Chase Town, and that feels like a game. And Leek Town, we should say, are hosting Corby. Corby got a very outside chance of getting in the playoffs, but it feels like a Premier Division scenario where you've got Alva Church, Bedworth United, Frickley Athletic in the playoffs now at least. And then just need sorting out between Stamford, Chase Town and Leek in the final weeks.
I say it. Between Alvechurch, Bedworth and Frickley at the moment, they're all dropping points against, similar to the Premier League and the playoff race.
Yeah.
They've all been dropping points against the teams down the bottom end. There was a result the other weekend, Sheffield, I think it was a 4-1 win against Bedworth. Don't quote me on that if it's wrong. But they got a massive win against the team at the top. Near the top and pulled themselves out of the relegation zone with it. If you look at the relegation fight down the bottom as well, that's nowhere near over.
I cannot believe the disrespect that this table is showing towards Lincoln United.
I was about to say, and fair play to Lincoln United, who in recent
don't
weeks...
Don't sack them on the end, then.
I'm not. I'm just saying they've come on the show, it's not affected them in any way, shape or form, and they've continued their superb run they've been on.
They're entertaining, aren't they?
They're very outsiders.
Hang on. They've conceded 73 goals. If they get into the playoffs, that is a disgrace.
But they've conceded 73. The goal difference is minus four.
Ben, they've conceded more goals than anyone in the league, apart from Romulus, who are bottom of the table. It is absolutely bonkers. But at the same time, they've scored 69 goals, which is more than anyone else.
What you're seeing here, though, listener, is two well-respected non-league journalists opening a window for the first time.
It is.
That's what you see here. But fair play to him for trying.
Yeah,
I like
that. Lincoln Entertainment United.
The only thing worth mentioning with the South is obviously they pretty much got no chance of getting that third promotion spot, so it is going to be with them the top six super-promoted for the playoffs as well.
And down the bottom end, you said the relegation picture is
close right now at the bottom.
It's not many points separating Romulus, Market Drain, Gresley and Kidsgrove. However, Romulus have played a lot more games than everyone else.
But the thing is, though, every team has been taking points off the top sides. The last place swapped between four or five teams in the last couple of weeks. In Sheffield, we saw before the start of last weekend, we were rock bottom and got a point one on Saturday and a good point on Tuesday night. So obviously they're fifth and bottom now as a result, so it's going to be really interesting to see down the bottom end of the table.
We'll look more at Division 1 South on next week's Division 1 show, which has now been rearranged live on air. Great. Division 1 North.
Yes.
Look at the incitement here all of a sudden. The title race, it's starting to look like a two-horse race. Have Scarborough blown it?
I think Scarborough have had a horrendous couple of weeks.
They beat Drolston, though, midweek.
They beat Drolston, but they've dropped a good number of points. I think one of them was to Ossett Albion, who have just absolutely come out of the gates in the last couple of weeks. Everyone, again, similar situation in Premier. The top four have all been losing points to everyone at the same time.
Well, Bamber Bridge have had
can we not just show a bit of love to Bamber Bridge? Because
we spoke to
Renault before they started this run of games. The run of games they've had has been absolutely horrendous. And they've only been beaten once in the last 10 matches.
By Hyde United.
Yeah. That goes to show you.
I think in almost in any other season, their record would have them, if not top second, wouldn't it? It's going to show how well the other three have done.
They're going to be a massive threat in the playoffs. It just depends
where the playoffs are going to be. Because again, with
this is what I was going to ask you, because you're our expert on this. Berkey nearly called an emergency AGM podcast, which has never happened in the 5 years we've been doing this version of the show. James, you did the YouTube version of this for a couple of years. Have you ever had an emergency AGM podcast
on YouTube?
No. And this all came about because all of a sudden we've been, I think everyone's been assuming this would happen, Division 1 North soaring away with the points per game, and then all of a sudden with Scarborough slipping.
Well,
where are we up to?
Corinthian Casuals and Cray Wanderers from the Isthmian League First Division South. They're our main competitors now.
As well as
I'm rooting for Scarborough.
Can I just say he stroked his beard when he said that?
Yeah. Are we? Is there anyone we could send round? Put them off the idea?
The only thing we could do is. Other than that, there's a couple of Beaconsfield in the
Beaconsfield.
Sorry, Beaconsfield in the Rhyming North. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's Division 1. It's the Southern League, isn't it?
Beaconsfield.
Sorry. They're probably one of them that's on the borderline. Yeah, they're the other big threat at this moment in time. But it's
apparently Wintley dropped out of it.
They're in the playoffs. They're in the promotion spots at the moment. It's down to basically no one drops more points because it's literally like a point not one from what the NPL group have been saying between them, so no one can drop points, and guess who the next team to go to Scarborough is?
Is it Ratcliffe Borough?
Well, so South Shields and Hyde United. South Shields, it looks like they've got all the aces at the moment.
South Shields have won it. Seriously, I'm conceding the league. South Shields
got Prescott Cables on Saturday, mate.
A Prescott. Oh, they. Oh,
right.
The Prescott had a form
side. It's fair enough then.
It's still on, everyone.
Yeah, it's still on.
I feel like we should mention Atherton Colts because someone mentioned on the NPL Facebook group today on Wednesday. I don't know why it's not made the news. Atherton Colts are officially safe now in Division 1 North. They can't get relegated.
Good on, quite right. Good on. The thing is, Ben, they had a couple of months where they basically didn't have a striker. Everyone was out injured. You know, Jordan Colton's come back and he is flying.
Thing is, that's what I mean. I wouldn't be celebrating the fact they're safe. I'd be wondering
what could have been.
No. Could they do
what
it?
Could be?
Well, no, I don't think they can.
Let's discuss the playoffs. Right, so I don't know why I'm doing this Josiah thing.
I just wanted to say my point was about Scarborough. Yes. And the teams that have beaten them recently, Hyde and Bamber Bridge and Adam Coles, the managers all speak to each other and they've figured out a plan how to beat Scarborough. Weather the storm, beat them on the break.
Gang up on them. Three managers' minds.
Well, it's worked. Yeah. It has worked. That's how Coles beat them on Saturday. They didn't play pretty football. Coles were a good footballing team, but they deliberately set out to just stifle Scarborough and hit them on the break because they've got the pace up top, which Scarborough don't have.
Now,
it worked.
Now, let's discuss the playoff race. I think everyone can now safely say that Prescott Cables and Bamber Bridge and a other between South Shields, Hyde and Scarborough are in the playoffs at least. Now, the interesting thing is that sixth place, and whether or not Scarborough, Hyde or South Shields can get enough points to get the third automatic spot sorted, take the playoffs down to seventh, in which case, blimey, Charlie.
It's game on.
It's game on. Now, at the moment, Trafford, I've got a 4-point lead over Colwyn Bay between sixth and seventh. Colwyn Bay have got three games in hand, though. Cone are not out of it either. They've got two games in hand over Trafford and only 4 points behind them. Clitheroe as well aren't completely out of it. And then this Tadcaster Albion are taking on Bamber Bridge this weekend. Where are we?
A lot of the mid-table teams are on form at this moment. That's what I mean. We're saying Everton Colliery is if they can keep the form up.
They'd have to win every game and hope Trafford only pick up, what, 7 or 8 points?
It's not the same situation
from the last six games. I think it's very unlikely.
Goldfield, but again, a lot of the mid-table teams have still got to play each other.
Out of the teams who are 7th, 8th and 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, whatever, out of those teams, who's most likely to overtake Trafford?
I'd say Clitheroe, me, because again, the
fall. Would you?
Kurt Willoughby and Newby. At the moment, they've had
Newby's not been there for 3 months. And Kurt Willoughby's not really been firing on all cylinders since Newby's gone. So, no, I wouldn't say it's Clitheroe. I'd actually say Cone. I mean, they're doing very well at the moment. Colwyn Bay, they've got Asim O'Holland, who's playing as we know he can play this season. He's been doing good. So they're in with a shout. But of course, if we get three teams promoted this season automatically, then it goes down to the seventh place team. And
that's why I'm thinking about
Colwyn. I do think Colwyn Bay will be in there regardless.
Very, very interesting. Mm. And I'm sure we're going to have a bit more clarity this weekend. But we're not really going to know until the last game of the season, I don't think.
I mean, that's the only one big shout out for the team this month is Ossett Albion. They just come literally out of nowhere.
Since we interviewed them.
But like I say, they look a completely different team. They shouldn't be down the bottom. They shouldn't have been second to the bottom of the team that they've got now.
It's not much of a surprise.
Can we just say, just to talk about the month we just had, the Clitheroe chairman who we spoke to, best interview we've done all year. Loved that interview. Felt really happy after it, even though they've had the roof taken off. It was celebrating
And did it level the pitch?
And good old Al.
Hey! And congratulations to Ossett Town and Ossett Albion for selecting a decent badge.
Oh, that's
that badge. That could have been a horrendous.
It could
have
been.
The first one was rubbish.
No, fair play to
the second one was pretty good, but the third one's cracky. Yeah, I rate it.
Yeah. On that happy note, that is the end of the EvoStick MPL show. And just to let you know, dear listener, we've recorded this in 1 hour and 10 minutes.
You said you wanted it done in 1 hour.
That's not bad, though, is it?
Well, considering.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we've not done the draw yet.
No, we've got to do that. That's
well, of course, you already know the draw when we're recording this, but you know time travel.
Does that mean you'll be editing it with a massive cigar this week? Because it's not going to take very long.
You'll have it done tonight.
This is the thing. I mean, apart from the controversial things Berkey said, there's not been much to edit out.
Hello? Yes? Do you want me to put you on?
Oh, yes, God.
Wait.
Okay. Swampy.
I don't want to speak to him.
No, okay, sorry, Swampy.
So, a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for the Mid Cheshire Guardian for joining us, Ian Burke from 26-0.
Cheers, man.
And James Hayes. A big thank you for joining us on this month's EvoStick MPL show. We'll be back next week with the weekly show and the Division 1 show. And just before you go, player of the season awards.
Yeah, voting ends on Easter Monday, so you've got, as it comes out, 3 days left of some next 24 hours because of bank holiday.
We're going to end the show then with the nice little advert we made last week in about 20 minutes because I totally forgot to do it. And
that was lovely.
But that is the end of the show. We'll see you all next week. Bye bye.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.